Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Glad you're with us. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. And Jim, we talk about polls a lot. We like the ones that seem to suggest things are looking our way, and we don't like other ones that might suggest the opposite. There have been some pretty decent numbers, unfortunately, for President Obama in some of the polls nationwide and in some of the swing states. But those things fluctuate because it was just last week we were talking about the battleground poll that had Mitt Romney up by an aggregate of 8 points. But the poll we're talking about today is from the Hill newspaper. It's one of the Capitol Hill newspapers. And they did a poll to ask a bunch of questions, but largely about the change in America that President Obama promised. 68% said that President Obama has brought big change. And so if you're a Democrat, you think, ooh, that's not looking too bad. The problem is for Obama, and the good news for us, is that 56% of those people who are polled say Obama has brought big change that is bad for America. And just 35% say that that change has been good for America. 91% of Republicans say it's been bad. 20% of Democrats say it's been bad. And so obviously we've got a little bit of an edge there. Obviously, we'll watch the independents carefully. But the appetite is there for a new president. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the stumbling blocks in the path to that new president, Martini number two. But there's definitely a demand out there for somebody new.
It is. And I think that I find this poll kind of reassuring because I guess if I had to articulate my most nefarious creeping fear of the 2012 election, it was going to be that after such a long recession, after things being so hard for so long, the Obama administration will have successfully lowered Americans' expectations to the point where they think 8.2% unemployment is actually pretty good. And there was actually some very disturbing numbers in a poll a couple of weeks ago, back when we had our bad economic news coming out of May, that had the unemployment rate going up 0.1%, where a surprisingly high number of Americans said that it was actually good news. When we see figures like 80,000 jobs being created, you and I know that that's not keeping up with the pace of population growth, and that's actually very disappointing. You need at least six figures and really closer to like 200,000 to really start chipping away at the unemployment rate. To a lot of Americans, maybe 80,000 new jobs seems like a big number. They don't really kind of think about it in the context of a nation of more than 300 million people. And so they think, oh, maybe things are going pretty good. So the fact that Americans realize that, you know, this is kind of that essential question to incumbents. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? The good news is that a significant number of Americans have not fooled themselves into thinking that they're doing better, or have not persuaded themselves or talked themselves into thinking, well, you know, I guess some things are a little bit better. We're not in the absolute free fall that we were in the fall of 2008, and as a result, things are better now. That's the good news. We can move on to the bad one, because I think that you look at the totality of polling over the last couple of weeks, and I don't think it's time for panic for the Romney campaign, but there are some unnerving signs comparing the movement in the polls with the actual news events.
Yeah, certainly true. And as we mentioned, we'll watch the independents, the centrists, as the Hill poll labels them. 40% think the United States is better today as a result of Obama, 42% saying it's worse. So that's pretty tight, but there's still about 20% there that haven't made up their mind for some reason on what they think of the president. Anyway, on to Martini number two as foreshadowed. And Jim talked about this a little bit towards the end of last week. The Wall Street Journal had reported on the frustrations among Republicans and conservatives that Mitt Romney was just assuming that bad economic data was going to carry him across the finish line, and he hasn't been nearly aggressive enough in outlining why Obama has to go, especially after saying over and over and over again during the primary campaign that he is uniquely qualified to take the case to the American people against Barack Obama. And the Journal, among others, have said he just hasn't done that yet. Yesterday, the issue came up on ABC's This Week program, and George Will, certainly a man of the right, had this to say, which pretty much echoed what the Journal had to say.
Governor Romney seems to be risk averse. He does seem to be in something like a four-corner stall in basketball, which almost killed basketball, and they put in a 30-second shot clock to change that. But you can't get to the NCAA championship, you can't get to the presidency running out the clock. So he's going to have to do something more than say Obama's not working. And he says CBS News this week, as long as I keep talking about the economy, I'll win.
He did.
It's what you say about the economy and what hope you give to people.
Yeah, Jim, he's got to get more specific, and he's got to get tougher. This line, every time he starts talking about the president, is, you know, he's a nice guy, but it's just not working. That doesn't fire people up.
It doesn't, and I think that there's I think George Will puts it very well, that there's a certain complacency in that statement by Mitt Romney. The idea that is, you know, to be honest, I think the assessment is more or less correct. I think that unemployment, if it's around 8%, there's a very good chance, you know, on election day, there's a very good chance that Mitt Romney will win. I don't want to see Mitt Romney just win with, you know, 271 electoral votes or something like that. I believe that for the conservative movement, for the Republican Party, for all that, you know, we think, you know, that we believe in, there's a real opportunity for a mandate. I think that's what you saw in 2010, and I think you can duplicate that in 2012. But one of the things you have to do is make the case for that. And I think, look, Romney's doing a fine job of saying Obama is lousing things up. Obama is failing. We've tried Obama's ideas and they have not worked. I think that's almost like baked into the cake of the mentality of most voters. I think the problem is they're just not convinced that they believe Romney's going to be able to improve things that much better. And so he's got some ads talking about what he would do in the first 100 days and such. But I think that there is a real opportunity for Romney to make the, like, you'll see conservatives talk about, well, we need free market economics. And sometimes they just kind of assume that everyone knows what free market economics are and that they understand why free market economics work better than centralized planning and big government. And I think that, you know, sometimes that we in the political world, one, we forget how much Americans don't pay attention to politics and how much they don't think about government and how much why the Santa Claus mentality of government, that it's just going to come and give you things, how appealing that is. So I think that there's a real opportunity for Romney to kind of come through and say, look, this is why free market economics works well. In other words, the government does not manage things all that well. You know, you look at state level, you look at local level, you can find individual programs that work fairly well. But as a whole, government is large, unresponsive, slow-moving, complicated. It has its own vested self-interest. It's married to the status quo. It doesn't want to change. It doesn't want to reform. Probably one of the best messages that Romney had in this campaign was when he started talking about fairness. And he said, look, we're going to, you know, Obama talks a lot about fairness. We're going to talk about fairness, too. We're going to talk about how unfair it is that kids are stuck in failing public schools. We're going to talk about how unfair it is that the tax code is full of unbelievably complicated gobbledygook that's designed to benefit the most, to pay the most lobbyists. You know, all these things, we're going to talk about the unfairness of regulations that kill jobs and stifle innovation. All these things are great, man. You know, there's great stuff there, man. You can do this. We know you can do this. But you have to want to do it. And you got to be overcoming whatever internal cautiousness and reticence he has in his own personality. And two, you maybe have to get your hands dirty. And maybe there'll be certain voters who won't necessarily like this. But I think that you have to lay the groundwork for this campaign. And I think that this is going to be, you know, both sides agree this is going to be an election about big issues. So I think that, you know, sometimes folks in the Romney campaign underestimate how much voter education is needed to say to people, all right, here is why conservatives believe what we believe, and here's why it works better, and point to the case studies, and point to people like Bobby Jindal and active conservative forums in places like Louisiana. I mean, the opportunity is there. Romney and his folks around have to want to do it. And, you know, this is no time to do things halfway, I would argue, Greg.
No, that's certainly the case. The president continuing his strategy of divide and conquer. He's doing it today by once again calling for just the rich to see the Bush tax cuts expire, or in real words, get a tax hike, since the Bush tax cuts are the law of the land. But the president will once again try to make that distinction. And unfortunately, most of the people seem to like that. But we'll see how that plays out and how Mitt Romney and the Republicans in Congress counter that. On to Martini number three now. And one of the reasons that Mitt Romney might believe that his strategy of just talking about the economy and watching these terrible economic reports roll in is going to work is because the Democrats seem completely tone deaf on these issues. Latest case in point, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, frequent contributor to the Third Martini here, was speaking on Fox News Sunday with guest host John Roberts, not exactly a lion of the right in this interview. And Wasserman Schultz was talking about how, well, we can't elect Mitt Romney because his plan is to take us back to the failed policies of the last decade and the Bush administration and so on and so forth. And so John Roberts counters with this.
So then is the suggestion that we should just keep doing the same thing? You know, there's that old definition of doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
What we should do, keep it, well, I pretty happy about 28 straight months of job growth in the private sector.
Are you happy about 80,000 jobs last month?
Hold on a second, John.
69 the month before that? Are you happy with those numbers?
Like I've said, we and President Obama has said, we need to continue to improve, and we need to do more, and we need to work together.
So the private sector is doing just fine, Jim.
I've said in politics, everyone should get one question that they're allowed to just say pass. and this is one that Debbie Wasserman Schultz could have used in these circumstances, because look, clearly she has her talking point. 28 straight months of positive private sector job growth. And yeah, it's better than losing jobs. But in a bunch of these months, it's actually, you know, pretty modest amounts, like 80,000 last month. And that's not enough to keep up with the growth in the size of the workforce. And oh, by the way, we're not even counting the large number of Americans who left the workforce in the last 4 years because they've given up on finding a job. So in that context, gaining 80,000 jobs a month, that can actually be losing ground. That can actually be, you know, a process in which you actually see the unemployment rate go up because you're not keeping up with the number of people, you know, grads and people who are entering the workforce. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in this really, you know, desperate, tough circumstance in which she's got to, you know, sound like Obama's done a really good job. But to everybody out there who doesn't have a job or knows someone who doesn't have a job or is working part-time and they want to find full-time work and just can't, or they're making less money than they were a couple years ago, you know, they got to sound like, I really care, but give us credit for what's going right. But don't blame us for what's going wrong. And it's this bizarre little, you know, conversational hopscotch that they constantly have to hop from one argument to the next. And it's a point of desperation and frustration on their part. I think, you know, the folks at the RNC are probably high-fiving every time she does something like this because, you know, they have to act like things are going according to plan. They cannot acknowledge, no, the economy is in really crappy shape and that's not where we thought we would be. Because that's a, you know, a de facto concession that the stimulus didn't work. And, you know, what else is Obama going to run on? Obamacare?
Probably not. Was it Pelosi who said that without the stimulus, we'd be at 14.5% or 15% unemployment now? If the poll numbers go south for Obama, expect that number to get closer to 20% as they try to explain how their completely lackluster recovery effort really was the greatest thing
Greg,
since sliced bread.
Greg, without the stimulus, we would have lost a hillion, jillion, kabillion, gazillion jobs. Yeah. We would have lost 4 jobs for every single American without the stimulus.
Well, let's just hope they keep spitting out that lame line of defense, and let's hope that Mitt Romney gets a little more aggressive and a little more clear on the differences between what is clearly a failed record from this administration and what he would do if elected here in now less than 4 months. So we'll be watching. Jim, have a great day.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.